Good morning.
Good morning.
I used to hear that yell every time I'd go to an MDRT meeting, and it always brings out the best of what you're trying to learn. Good morning. Good morning. Are you having a good morning? You wake up, you look at the mountains. To me, that's special, because when I wake up, I see a cornfield. And I'm amazed at the crispness of the air. I'm amazed at the people sitting here. Good morning. What does that mean? So many people in our world wake up and they expect a bad morning. And they have a bad morning. And you get what you expect, don't you? So everybody say it with me. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be here as my first official United States speech as president of the Million Dollar Roundtable. Thank you. The influence that this organization has had and the people in this room have had on my life, whether you've been to an MDRT meeting many, many times, or whether you've just now first heard of MDRT. Because MDRT is about the sharing of ideas. It's about the sharing of who you are, more so than it is about the receipt of the ideas. This group together today symbolizes that the ideas don't come from the front. The front is just the delivery. But it's what happens outside of this room after you hear the idea and you echo what you heard. I heard a lot this morning from Howard that I'm going to incorporate to make it Brian Heckert's approach on Lawrence of Arabia. I'm going to read a little bit more about that part of history that I didn't know about. That's the beauty of what a meeting like this does. That's the beauty of MDRT. So who are you? Are you that person you thought you were going to be 10 years ago? When you started off in this career, you put down a list of goals. Number one, make money. That was your goal. But your agency manager put down sales goals and call goals and prospecting goals and closing goals and written goals. What are your goals for you? Who do you want to be when you grow up? Because we don't stop growing until we're dead. So who do you want to be 5, 10 years from now? Who do you want to be next week? Who are you going to be? I am MDRT, not because I stand on this stage as the president of the organization. I am MDRT because of the ideas that I've learned over the last 28 years. I've now been in business for 30 years. I know it looks impossible, but 30 years ago in April, I started in this business, and the first day I was challenged that the only goal I should have my first few years was to qualify for MDRT. And I thought, like many people do, it's a production goal. But I found out MDRT is so, so much more. MDRT requires production to get into the organization, but it requires a heart to be a member. Anybody can qualify and pay their dues and call themselves MDRT, but it takes a heart to let MDRT get into you. So my challenge this morning for everybody in this room is to help you understand what MDRT is and how you, at the end of this presentation and end of this conference and the symposium, can say, I am MDRT, whether you pay your dues or not, where you can look around and say, I am MDRT because of the values this organization gives. This is my first grade picture. And I grew up in a very rural part of Illinois. Nashville, Illinois is a town of 3,000 people in a county of 15,000. There's actually only 5 grade schools in the county, and I belong to a little grade school called Johannesburg. And I can honestly tell you, I was not sitting there thinking about becoming a life insurance agent. We all have children, a lot of them have goals. If you ask them at that age, at 5 years old, what do you want to be? And they'll say farmer, fireman, or nurse, doctor. And if you think about the genesis of that noble goal that they want to grow up to be, it's either what their parents do, or it's something that helps other people. Why don't they say, I want to be a life insurance salesman? Because we don't communicate the benefits, usually to our own children. We have the biggest opportunity to increase recruiting in our industry in our own houses. In our children and grandchildren lie opportunities to do the good of this world if we could just get them through the first 5 years. So why don't they say, I want to be a life insurance salesperson? That's our noble calling. That's what we need to do as an industry and an organization. That's who we should say, who do you want to be when you grow up? And spread the message that we do so much good. I grew up on a farm. My dad, still alive today, one of 6 children in a moderately modest home. I mean, we didn't have much, but we never were hungry. And I learned the good of our industry through a salesman who never qualified for MDRT, but was heavily influenced by MDRT. His name was Les Bushin, and he would stop by on a regular basis and talk to my father about insurance. And Les was always the guy I wanted to come over because he always brought candy. Always brought candy. And we never knew what was going on, but we knew that Dad was busy at that time. We cleared the house and they talked business. So my early impressions of the life insurance industry were set by somebody very noble. Think about that. Whether you call on a business owner or you still call on families in their home, what's the impression of the people around your prospect when you leave? Do you treat that secretary or that gatekeeper with respect and dignity? Or do you leave a negative impression because your time is more valuable than them? That's our challenge as an industry. We all want to see the prospect or the client, but it's the influencers around them that make the biggest impact. Well, I'll argue I'm here today because of Les Bushin. Not because my dad died early. My parents are both still living. Those life insurance policies my dad have, most of them are still in effect. But he left an impression on me that put me on a path to where I am today. What's your legacy? Who are you influencing that will come into this business? I show this picture because there's another person very important on this picture. And while Mrs. Brown, or Mrs. Parker, as she was, she got married that year, and we all thought it was a big deal that she changed her name, there was somebody very important on this page. All of us on this picture are still alive, and my wife and I are trying to find them and track them down so that we can have a common picture. Most of them were clients at one time. A few of them have struggled with addiction. But it'll be interesting to see and ask those people as we get together now 45 years later, did you become who you wanted to be? Neil, the bald-headed boy in front next to him, he's my cousin, and he became exactly what he was going to be. He was going to be a veterinarian. But he wasn't the one that influenced me. Mrs. Parker, although as a client of mine, did not impact me. Mary's the one that impacted me. We went through all 12 years of school together. She helped me with my studies. And when we were 19 years old, we got married. And she was the one who kept me from being that person I didn't want to be. It was her constant struggle to tame me and my ideas that helped me become a better person. And we all know this from our spouses. We know that they play such an important part of our lives. And I'm happy to say that now 32 years later, that little girl in first grade has helped me impact not only our family's life, but because of her support, allowed me to do the things I needed to do so that I can change the world. Now, that's what I wanted to do when I was younger. I wanted to change the world, and we all have those dreams. But think about this. Your idea that you share today, after you've heard one of the speeches today, could filter into an MDRT program or a GAMA program or a NAFA program that impacts a few thousand. And maybe that will filter into a program overseas and be presented at China Life, where they have 2 million agents, or Life Insurance Company of India that has 1.4 million agents. And if that idea sells just $10,000 of coverage, that's a lot of lives that have been impacted by one little idea. So whether you want to stand on a stage and spread an idea or you want to share an idea, you can change the world. And that's what the beauty of my wife's encouragement over the years has been, to help me and our children think just a little bit bigger. Like many of you in this audience, I have 3 grandchildren now. I know you'd say you don't look old enough to be a grandpa, but it's amazing how your ideas about what this world has to offer change as you listen to those young children as they begin to talk and think and put together reason. Now, it happened with our own 4 kids. They had that same excitement and that same passion, but I just didn't absorb it as much because we were so busy raising them and telling them what they couldn't do that sometimes we didn't listen to the opportunities of what they could do. Well, I share an idea with you that I picked up in a meeting in Anaheim when they had the vice president of Disney speak. And it impacted me and my family greatly. And I hope by sharing it, it might impact you and your children or grandchildren. I forget the name, but he was vice president of Disney. And he said, what have you done to help your kids think bigger? He said, he told a story about Disney, how Disney had the vision. But he said, my kids have expanded their horizon because of the things I've brought home. He said, I bought a telescope. He said, you want to open the eyes of a young child, let them look at how big the universe is and talk about that. He said, give them creative time. Don't put them on a schedule and make them do sports on your time frame. Give them structure, but give them, more importantly, give them time to be creative. He said, we have a whole room that's creative. Paper, so they can draw, art, paint, whatever they want to do. And he said, keep it all and tell them how important it is. Because that may just inspire them. And we did those things. I immediately went home, bought a telescope. I think that speech probably sold at least 500 telescopes from what I can understand. But I've heard stories repeated time and time again about how that one idea did not sell a policy, but it changed the world and the lives of the people that went home and changed their families. That is why I am MDRT. I have two engineers in my family. I have an interior designer, and the youngest son is going to come into our business after he finishes his job with an insurance company because of the creativity inspired by that one idea, I'll argue. That's why I am MDRT. I am MDRT because we address the multiple stages of this insurance career. We actually did a study where we identified three stages, and I'll relate to you through my career stages how this impacts the people who come into our organization. First, people come to us for sales mastery ideas. Now, those of you that are members or those of you that are aspiring to be members, you hear about the sales idea, you hear about the sharing. And there was a time in my life when I first got into the business where I wanted every idea I could get. I was very fortunate. My general agent had an unlimited expense account and he invested it all in MDRT tapes. And I listened to every one of them. I absorbed the ideas. I was very fortunate to be with a company, Indianapolis Life, and we had the history of having Jack Peckinpah as one of the past presidents. So it was an MDRT culture. We went to their meetings. Their meetings were very similar to MDRT. We had MDRT speakers. We absorbed MDRT. So MDRT recognized the importance of the sales mastery. And I picked up a lot of early ideas very early on. One of the first ones that impacted me was that I did not have to be restricted by the traditional insurance industry approach that you should call on people 5 years younger than you and 5 years older. Folks, I started at 21. That put my best prospects at 16. And 26-year-olds were just getting their family started. I had a young family already by the time I got into this business. My son was one and we were pregnant with our second child. And I didn't want to call on people at night. So I heard through these tapes that business owners don't do night calls. And the people who were making quarter of the table and top of the table did all of their appointments with business owners. So at 21 years old, I had nothing but time during the day. And I started working on the people that I wanted to work with over the next 20 years of my life. And I would drive and drive and drive. I'd put miles on my car because gas was cheap and my time was even cheaper. And I could call on business owners. And I had a very simple approach that I learned from a tape. At 21, I said, hi, my name's Brian Heckert. I don't have time to talk today, but could I schedule a time to come back and tell you ways that I can cut your taxes or improve your insurance portfolio? And you know what? Enough people said yes that I could bring somebody from my agency to give me the knowledge I lacked. That was a sales idea. Now, I found out I'm a pretty good prospector, but I'm a horrible closer. Still am today. And what I did is I found out the second secret of sales mastery, which is to bring in people to supplement your lack of brain power. I teamed up, and I was a great caller, and there was an attorney in our office who was a horrible prospector, struggling. And together, both of us made MDRT our third year in the business. He hated picking up the phone. He detested a cold call. But when he was on site in front of a prospect, His law degree and his knowledge of simplification put us on a path to do pension after pension, and we wrote some very nice cases still in force today. But that's why people came to MDRT, was for the sales mastery. After a while, for those of you that have been in this business maybe 5-10 years, you hit a plateau in your knowledge. A lot of people are not here today, I'll argue, because they don't think they need another sales idea. They think of a gathering of insurance agents as just another sales idea. And I know you have some great speakers on sales idea, and I don't want to diminish that. But we find there comes a level where you're confident in who you are and what you do. You've become more of a specialist than a generalist. So you look for business planning ideas. How do you hire somebody? How do you run a practice? How do you negotiate leases? And that's where I started congregating after the sales presentations with people that helped me run a better practice. I heard Randy Scritchfield give the best presentation, and then I talked to him afterwards. He's from Damascus, Maryland. And he said, you cannot hire one person to do marketing and service. He said, if you have the same person in your office handling the service calls as handling the sales calls, service will always overwhelm the sales. Now think about that. Think of that in our own life. If I'm busy with something that's urgent, like a call from a client that needs a beneficiary change, the satisfaction to please that client goes in immediately, and I'll spend all my time servicing that client. And I'll push back my sales calls. Well, the same methodology goes for staff people. So I've always separated after that point the sales and marketing from the servicing. Because if their only job is to be a sales and marketer, they don't do the servicing. So they focus on what they do best. That division of labor in my mind and in my staffing has helped me grow as a business owner. I learned through business development that I could add value to other practices through specialization. I was able to acquire a TPA firm, both the one in my agency and another one, and I became a specialist in the business development phase of my career. And by specializing in pension administration, I was able to build relationships with advisors through the Midwest. And we did a lot of joint work together. So as my practice grew, I narrowed my focus down to narrower and narrower things so that I became a specialist. That's the business development phase. And after you've been around for a while, a few gray hairs come up or a few more hairs fall out, whichever is the case, maybe some people it's both, you start thinking about what is your legacy? Where are you going to end up and deposit your client relationships? Because we all know after a few years, our clients become our friends. And to leave them hanging, in case something happens to us, or we plan retirement, we start thinking about our own legacy. What do you want to be when you finally don't grow up anymore? What will your tombstone say? John Smith, CLU? Or John Smith made a difference? That's your choice. What are your clients going to do as you go into your next appointment? Are they thinking, boy, he's looking a little bit long in the tooth, or she's looking a little bit closer to retirement? Who's going to take care of my needs? I think we owe it to our industry. I think we owe it to our clients, and we definitely owe it to our families to create a legacy plan for our exit. We spend all of our time telling our clients to do the same thing, and yet we leave our relationship hanging by our own deaths, our retirement. MDRT and NAFA and GAMMA all realize this is a golden opportunity for the people in this room. Whether you're 25 years old or whether you're 75 years old, There's people in this room who need each other. That's the legacy of MDRT. I am MDRT because it's the benchmark of excellence. Now, a lot of us have healthy egos. And I've struggled over the years about local publicity in the paper, about telling people about my accomplishments, because for the longest time I thought MDRT was a sales award, that I would be recognized as the biggest salesperson when I wanted to establish myself as an advisor. And it was my third child when he was about 17 years old one time, and we just were on this subject. And I was telling him about the dilemma, because he said, I never read anything about you. He said, I'm reading about such and such qualified for a sales trip. And I said, why don't I ever read about you? So I told him, I said, it's not the way I want to be recognized. And he looked at me and he said, Dad, it's okay to be awesome. But think about that. Do your clients know you're awesome without you having to tell them? MDRT is not a sales goal. It is so much more. And it helps you breach that conversation of discussion about the professionalism, the ethical code, the whole person concept that MDRT is. It's about becoming a better person. And you can say you're part of the best in the world. You may not make the most money in the world. There are Merrill Lynch people, there are stockbrokers and bankers that make millions of dollars by transactions. But we change lives. We are the best life changers in the world. Folks, that's why I am MDRT. I don't have plaques on the wall in the lobby, but people understand through a subtle reinforcement of the excellence and the description of the interaction and the networking why I am MDRT. I'm proud of that. I don't run from it. And it hasn't always been that way. Well, some of the best prospecting ideas I've gotten over the years were the ones from interactions after meetings like this. But I'll challenge you that you'll hear something today that'll make an impact on your life. Maybe just a small thing. But use that idea to not only change your life, go back and challenge other people. Whether it's in your office or in your agency, take the ideas and share them. And for those of you who have been members, or those of you who think MDRT is not for you, we need your ideas. Because right now, the United States advisor population is shrinking. It's endemic of this room as I look around. Our average age is 58 years old. And at 58, the prospecting ideas aren't as creative as they were when you were 28. So we need the 58-year-old ideas and the 28-year-old ideas. So we need you as a member, not for your dues. We need it for your ideas. Our industry needs that sharing again. I'm talking to the choir here, because you're here for that reason. But take those ideas. Let me give you an idea. For those of you that are involved in an agency, maybe you're in agency management, let me give you a prospecting idea that works not only to recruit new prospects, but maybe to inspire new agents to join you. We instituted something this year called echoing sessions. And it's a concerted effort to take ideas that are spoken in English and get them into the 28 different languages of our membership. We translate into 18, but I've listened to other, I just got back from Korea, and listening to an interpreter interpret Korean into English, you get about 40% of the context of the ideas. That led me to think that maybe even in English, our ideas aren't making a difference in our members' lives. So we have a new emphasis called echoing sessions. And it's what we've done, if you've been around an MDRT member, been an MDRT member for years, It's to take an idea and translate it back into other people. So take an idea, or two or three, or take the entire symposium and make some notes, and I'll challenge you, go back to your office and echo what you've heard. Now that has a nice sound to it, but it has a chemical impact as well. If you write down an idea, it'll retain a little bit. If you recreate the idea and explain it to other people, that idea sticks around forever. So echoing does more for you than for the people who hear it. Challenge you. Take some prospecting ideas you pick up at this meeting and translate them back. So we have prospecting ideas. We are known as the cornerstone of sales ideas. But we're advisors nowadays. We're not salespeople. Now, we all sell. We all know that. But in a professional world, is it proper to call us salespeople anymore? Is an attorney a salesperson? I'll argue some of them are the best in the world, but they're not known as salespeople. Are doctors salespeople? Well, let me give you this sales pitch. You have something that's going to pretty much kill you unless I do a lot of surgery, get paid a lot of money, and make you better. Do you want to buy? That's not what they do. Surgeons have empathy. They don't have sympathy. Their sales approach is to help you understand the ramifications of inaction. A surgeon will take your medical condition, and the good ones will relate it back to you in a manner where you have to put yourself through a lot of pain to get better. Folks, is it easy buying life insurance? Do we not have to go through a lot of pain first through the medical exam, then the process, and then the monthly reminder or annual reminder of the premium so that someday somebody else will do better? We're all salespeople. Everybody is a salesperson. Networking ideas. I am MDRT because of the accumulated patchwork of people I've run into. I ran into Kelly this morning. We sat in a hot tub somewhere back in our history with with one of the companies we were with. I am better because of that meeting. As random as it may have been in his life, it changed who I was. I tell my kids about an idea, call it the 3-second decision-making process. And I've raised my kids to believe that they better be good at making 3-second decisions. That decision may be to get in a car with another teenager who's a little bit crazy, not knowing whether that is a smart choice or a fatal choice. It's whether to choose to use drugs or alcohol. That first one's a 3-second decision. It's peer pressure. It's whether they make smart decisions about the people they choose. And I've told my kids that drugs aren't as addicting as the people who surround drugs. Alcohol isn't as addicting as the people who surround alcohol. Lifestyles of laziness are not as addicting as the people who surround it. Those people who surround it are what are addicting, but so are positive people. And if you choose to spend a little bit more time with people in your life, that's a 3-second decision. Do I go to that party? Do I not go to that party? And it forever alters where you're at. So if you go down the wrong path, it takes 3 decisions to get back to where you were. Our business is like that. Who do you network with? Do you go to the coffee? You don't go to coffee. I just spoke in Korean. They drink a lot of coffee. But do you go to meetings? Do you hang around with people that impact your life positively? Or do you hang around people who are negative? That's a 3-second decision. You get the phone call, hey, I've got a foursome here. and you know the foursome will take you down a negative path that'll take you 2 days to recover from. That's networking. Are you networking with the 3 second decisions, that attorney, that accountant that will change your life? Maybe it's another advisor in this room where you decide to spend a little time over breakfast. That's a 3 second decision in networking. And it's the networking that puts people where they are today. That's why I'm with MDRT. I am MDRT because it puts me in the room with people in the common vision that want to do better. They want to be better. That's why I am in MDRT. Mentoring. I am the product of the many mentors who have impacted my life. My first mentor, like many in the room, Ben Feldman. Now, he didn't know he was mentoring me, but I did. I met Ben at my very first meeting in Toronto in 1989. Was with my general agent. We were going up the escalator. My general agent was one of those guys that was kind of negative from time to time. And we saw Ben, and then he said, this is, you know, I recognize him. He said, go up to him. One of the best positive things he ever said, just go up to him, ask him anything. He's the nicest guy in the world. So I went up to Ben and I told him I'm a first-time member, and like millions of people have done, what's the secret of success? Well, here's what his idea was. Add a zero, young man, add a zero. Then he walked away. It's like you finally meet your favorite person in the whole world, your mentor, your idol, gives you a one sentence and then he walks away. But that was the secret. He gave me the idea, and I had to interpret it. So what did one add a zero mean to me? Well, in the life insurance application process, sometimes when you propose the numbers, it's not $1 million need, it's a $10 million need. When you think they can only afford $1,000, maybe by adding a zero, they can just possibly find the $10,000 premium because the need is so strong. It's phone calls. Instead of 5 calls a week, maybe it's 50 calls a week. It's life. Add a zero. If you think you can only go to 50 states, what's wrong with 500 different countries or communities? What's wrong, instead of reading 5 books a year, with reading 50 books a year? Children, well, I'm not going to go there. Add a zero. But think about the power of that one statement. Add a zero. How awesome is that? And it's why I'm here today. I decided that I had 24 hours. And if I added a zero and made myself more productive, I could find time for the things I wanted to do. Add a zero. And by mentoring other people, you multiply that zero and make it 100. Mentoring is our obligation. It satisfies that inner voice that all of us said when we were new agents, if I finally make it, I'm going to help somebody else become better. I've mentored about 15 people officially over the last number of years. And the last year, I spent about 60% of my time doing this. For all of you that know, involved in an organization, it takes a lot of time. But I found a way to mentor that impacted them as much as it did me. I have one aspirant who lives in Brunei, came up to me after a speech in Singapore and said, I'm going to send you an email. And I hear that thousands of times. I've had it happen once where they actually followed up. Alex Liu is a young agent who was in his first year, and he said, I want to make MDRT. And I said, well, send me an email and I'll help you. He is now a 4-year qualifier. That was 2011. He's now a 4-year qualifier for MDRT. His goal now is to add a zero. He wants to be the first top of the table member from the country of Brunei. It's not because I'm that great, it's because he's that great. He has the motivation, and all he needed was to find somebody who believed in him. He was with an agency manager when he told his report, when he got his first reply and email from me, that there was a MDRT member, I wasn't even involved in the executive committee, who replied to him and told him he was going to mentor him. His agency manager told him he was lying. And he physically had to show him the email to get him to prove. So 2 years after he qualified and he came to the meeting with his agency manager, I had a little talk with the agency manager about positive reinforcement. Adam Milam was my second aspirant this year. His dad is John Milam, who was an MDRT speaker in 2002, probably gave one of the best whole person talks from the MDRT main platform. Funny, great guy. I worked with him on a couple of committees, very active TOT member. And I considered it an honor and privilege that Adam sought me out because he said, my dad's too close and he won't tell me the things I need to hear. He said, I'll go to dad for family issues, but he said, will you help me? And we exchanged emails and phone calls throughout the year. It was one idea here, one idea there. And he qualified as a first-time attendee down in New Orleans. And he didn't even realize he had been a member since about October. He was sweating it out on December 31st. Who are you mentoring? Who are you mentoring? We all mentor somebody, whether we have an official relationship or not. We mentor our children. Our spouses mentor us. I have mentored people that are further along in years than I am. And I am an aspirant to those that are younger. Each stage of my life requires input that can only be given by somebody else. But I challenge you, everyone sitting in this room, find somebody to either mentor you or be mentored by another. That's why I am MDRT. Study groups. MDRT started in 1927, 32 members. It was a study group of those people who produced $1 million of coverage. We all know the story. But study groups are the key to most of the top-of-the-table memberships out there. What a study group does for me is it gives me a chance to peer-to-peer mentor. This group of five, we just literally was with them yesterday in Minneapolis. This group of five started in 1998. There were 11 of us, and we were all somewhere between qualifying for MDRT, and we had one quarter of the table qualifier. And we started this group, and we call it Give and Grow. And the whole objective was to get all of our firms up to top of the table production. For those of you that may not be familiar, MDRT is about 98,000. Top of the table is roughly six times that production level. So we had some pretty big goals. And we found that this group of people were in it for the sales ideas at first. And we transitioned into the business management ideas, and we're now talking about subjects on legacy planning. In fact, I had my younger partner, who's a 20% owner, all of us brought our, what we call our junior advisors into this meeting, and we're talking about ways to keep the firm running, not our practices running, because the firms are now employing, one gentleman has 18 employees, another one has about 25, another one has six, I have eight. All of us are in different stages, but we realize there's a lot of people in addition to our clients that depend upon our ability to keep this thing running. But a study group helps you get the most of how you, who you want to be. If you're not in a study group, think about people who are in a place where you want to be and team up with them. Meet on a regular basis. And it's different than an agency manager's meeting. All of us were in that. But it's so much different when you can sit and talk about open financial issues, family issues, all kinds of things in your life. I'll argue I am here today because of the wisdom I got in a very tough period of my life. I went through, in 1998, I started acquiring businesses, and in 2001 bought the TPA firm at a point in time when the economy, as we all know, took a little bit of a hit. And I had three or four or five other outside businesses, from shoe stores to car washes, real estate development. Success breeds stupidity in a lot of situations. And the more money we have, it seems, the more stupid we can become in our decisions. And with the all the extra payments, with all of the extra things going on in my life, in about 2004 to 2006, I hit a financial low point where I was still making significant amounts of revenue, but it doesn't matter if your expenses exceed what you make. And it was the study group, because of the open discussion I had with them about where I was financially, still trying to justify my cash flow, that took me and physically shook me up by the shoulders and said, heal yourself. You give excellent advice. You have so much to offer this industry, but you're so close to being a financial disaster that it may take you out of this business. We all need that second look in our lives. And I did at that point in time. And they put me on a path at that point in time to help me heal my financials. I couldn't have got that from an agency meeting. I couldn't tell my wife. It would scare her to death. And this was the only group of people I could work with who were open enough and cared enough about me and knew enough about me to help me. I share that not because I'm proud of it, but because I'm proud of what happened with that advice. Find somebody in your life. We're successful advisors. We give advice for a living, and I found the most successful people in our business listen to very little. It takes somebody who's a peer to give you what you need. I am MDRT because of the whole person that I have become. The whole person concept is not new in this room. Roulon Rasmussen was the driving force to make MDRT whole person what it is today. And you talk about the power of an idea. That's an idea that has changed millions of people around the world. It's about career. You heard it this morning. All the success in the world will never overcome a failure at home. And I'm not talking about divorce failure, but how do you treat the people in your home who are most appreciative of what you do? Do you hand them a financial check, or do you hand them time and caring? So it matches the career, and it helps you become better balanced in your career path. It's about the financial. The story I just told will hopefully help somebody in this room, or maybe retold to help somebody else going down a destructive financial path. It's a pillar of being a whole person. It's education. This symposium has credits for CE, but you're not here for the continuing education certificate. You're here to become a better person. Being part of a whole person means that education doesn't stop at the door. It stops when you stop growing. It's about service. If you would have told me a few years ago that I could give away 60% of my productive day every day for the last 4 years and have a constantly increasing income, I would have said no way. Being a whole person and designing the things that you think are important helps you give more in service. And I'm talking to a community that fully understands service. But is it more than just service here? Are you doing service in this business? Are you giving time to NAFA, to GAMMA, to SFSP? Are you giving time? Because quite honestly, we need you. We need the next planners for John so that John can retire and just become an attendee. The people who put on this meeting give a lot of their time, and I'll argue that they'll probably come out of this event with a higher income because of what they've given. Spiritual. It's refreshing to go to a meeting and have it opened with a prayer. You go to the Philippines, they do the same thing. But it's not like that everywhere I speak. MDRT has helped me in my faith become better in who I am because of the interaction with everybody else's faith. We are better because of the accumulation and the interaction, and it helps us become better in our spiritual journey. That's part of being a whole person. And I've learned in my multicultural travels and in the diversity of our membership that everybody's passionate about who they are. And it helps me and inspire me become better at who I am in my spiritual journey. Health. I know it may not look at it, but I'm better shape than I ever have been. I have committed myself openly in committee meetings to strive to exercise more and lay out my health journey. It's my MDRT friends that will call me on when I'm a little bit pudgy and eating too much bread. But it's these meetings that get me up in the gym at 5 a.m. so that I can rehearse. I've developed an exercise routine because of my commitment that I want to see my granddaughter's children as much as I want to see her grow up. And last, relations. We're not in this journey alone. We are here not only to make a sales award, we're bringing everybody with us. And we can be the most successful person in the agency and a shallow eggshell of a person in everything else we do. We may have large families and small relationships. Are you the best you can be? Are you top of the table in your relationships? That's whole person. And not one of these is more important than the other. They feed on each other. There is no order to the way I presented them. I'll argue they're just as important. If you're struggling at home with a family relationship or a child relationship, you're not all you can be in the sales world. You're skipping your workout. You're focusing your time on that and not on your education. And while this goes around in a circle and feeds on each other, it can spiral downward just as easily. So who are you? Are you the whole person you really want to be? Well, as I told you, I am MDRT. Are you MDRT? Not a qualifier, but are you that person who has a goal and ambition? Are you that person you thought you would be 3 years from now? And are you going to change the things you know you need to change so that you can be that person you want to be 5 years from now? That's the goal and the message I want to leave you with. Because I am MDRT, not because I stand here as the president. I am MDRT because of the aggregated millions of people who have impacted my life through this organization. I am MDRT because I sat out there as a first-timer with a goal. I am MDRT because a member spoke at our agency and looked me in the eyes and said, "Brian, you can be president of the organization. All you have to do is set the goal." Now, I was barely wasn't even a member at the time. But what it told me was, I could add a zero to that dream. And I stand before you as a member of MDRT, not because I want your dues, but I want your ideas. I want you to be better. So my challenge today for you is, if you aren't a member, look at us again. If you quit paying your dues because you thought that was a sales organization, come back. We need you. We don't want your dues-paying revenue, but we need your ideas. We need your smile. We need your ambition. We need your whole person concept to make MDRT what it can be. So thank you for letting me share today, and good luck on your journey.